Good morning and welcome to How You Do Anything is How You Do Everything. Good morning, Sherry.
Good morning, Ashwini.
So, Sherry, I don't know why, but my application is giving me some problems, and I have not initiated an internet show because if I do, it keeps quitting on me. So I'm going to do it just once, and hopefully everybody
just tell us what you need, Ashwini. We're here to support you.
Yeah, well, if you are joining by computer, that seems to be the issue. And if it quits again, I might not be able to initiate a voice call, an internet call, and we might all have to just dial in on the phone.
Ah, okay.
All right. Here, our assignment from yesterday was who and or what are you protecting? Record and listen. And this was related to keeping secrets.
Uh-huh.
And so here is our first caller. You are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourselves? First caller, you're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Sandy.
Hi, Sandy. Hi.
Hi. I'm totally shocked to be the first one.
Had to be Sandy. We're just glad it's you.
And ego says, why me? In doing this, it's the past few days of this assignment have been fascinating because the secret that dropped in was a secret wish. And in recording and listening with that wish, it's the wish itself has sort of the onion layers have been peeled away to kind of the core of the wish. And the mentor has just really surprised me with saying at first the mentor was like, ego says this is bad. I don't really have an opinion of if this is good or bad. And then, what kind of struck me full circle with what are you protecting yesterday is it's like, well, if this wish didn't come from ego, what if it came from life?
Mm-hmm. And then, so perhaps ego is what is trying to protect itself from you having something that your heart desires?
Right. That's crazy. Because I thought it was ego's plan to be a good person. It was trying to protect me and keep me a good person, but good person according
to... Oh, no, Sandy. No. That is never its desire. No, ego's wish is to cause as much trouble as possible because that's how it gets the most attention.
Right, but part of me still thinks if I told you this particular piece of content, you'd be like, oh, no, ego's right.
No, ego's never right. So there is that. Now, coincidentally, if a voice of ego says, you really shouldn't kill people. Well, yeah, that is a true statement. But that doesn't mean that ego, the voices of ego, of egocentric karmic conditioning self-hate, are saying that to keep you from doing that. It would be more to keep you in a place of judgment about anybody who did that, or to have you obsessed with that so that you would live in fear, so that you would look to it to protect you, things like that, not trying to make sure you're the best person that you can be.
Right. Right. What came into my mind as you said that is I almost think ego is trying to help me get this wish, but it's kind of wanting me to sort of manipulate and lie to get it. And life is why not just kind of have that be the wish? And if anyone asks you, that's the wish, okay. Wanting a pink coat, you want a pink coat, not a green one. All right.
Right. And if there's a problem in any of it, you'll know in exactly that way that just happened to you. It will just drop in. It will come to you via insight.
Right. If it turns out that instead of a pink coat, you know, maybe I really, an orange one is really better. Well, okay. We'll know that at the time.
That's right. Or at some time.
At some, right.
You'll have clarity if you keep paying attention. Exactly. So we really have nothing to fear, right? Fear is just ego trying to stay in control. We don't need to fear. This is a, as far as I can tell, this is a giant moment-by-moment retreat. And we're getting to do exercise after exercise after exercise, one per moment, in which we get to see how egocentric karmic conditioning, self-hate, has controlled us, is controlling us, and we get to choose presence instead. We can't go wrong.
Yes, it's so nuts how, like, ego, I guess ego has been powerful in using the, it's kind of policing system of good and bad person and do the good person
thing.
That's right. It's not.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. That's it. You're seeing it. Very good, huh?
Woohoo! Yes!
All right. Thank you, Sandy.
Thank you.
Go happy.
Go happy.
Thanks, Sandy. Sherry, what drops in is it's only interested in keeping the person alive, right? The person within quotes, the ego alive. Whether it's good or bad, it's indifferent so long as that sense of separate self, that sense of self is maintained.
Yes. Yeah.
And it takes me back to that conversation we've been having with a couple of people on the Open Air radio show, that if we, just because we want something doesn't make us a good or a bad person. That's what we bring into acceptance. Wanting something is one process. Acting from that want is another process. But what conditioning does is to keep the conversation alive and therefore the attention on it by talking about the duality around the fact that we want that.
Yes, and what it all means. Right,
and what it all means.
That's ego's specialty, right? What it means.
What it means about me, which is how the person is kept alive, right? The person, the sense of self.
The personality, yeah.
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 Yeah, it's fiendish.
It is. It is. And thank goodness we're increasingly realizing it's fiendish and it's unnecessary.
Yes. Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
All right, here's our next caller. You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Oh, hello. This is Richard.
Hello, Richard.
Hi. Well, I haven't done the assignment, but I'm just back from that retreat, and I got so much out of that retreat, and it was so wonderful. And drawing a blank.
Okay, so what we've been talking about, which I suspect you have looked down on occasion, is the secrets we keep and what are we protecting by keeping those secrets. So one of the ways, of course, we would talk about that is what are the payoffs, right? That's an interesting way to explore that. What's the payoff for keeping secrets? What do we get out of that? Can kind of give us a sneak peek at what is being protected.
Right, right. And I have a secretive life at times. One of my problems, though, is something causes me to be too open quite often.
Uh-huh.
I believe it's ego and conditioning. It's definitely been my pattern my whole life. It gets me in a lot of trouble.
So what does that mean? You say or do things that might have been best not said or done?
Right. It might have been better to hold my tongue I was on a kind of autopilot. Particular conditioning, and I have to go back and study my Enneagram and see how this fits in with that. But, you know, I wanted to say, I happened to see this fellow, Rupert Spira, last night here in New York City, and he does this non-duality thing. He's from England. I had mentioned him to you, and he and you concur on so much.
And often, yes, I'm not surprised.
Yes, and the general element of compassion. And someone, I was trying to relate this to someone, and they asked me what were the teachings, and I explained my notes, which were a hodgepodge. But then I think the main thing, and it always just completely blows my mind, I'm a 60s type person, so I still say things like that, but is that there are no persons. There is no self.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes. And it really tells us, doesn't it, Richard, the importance of compassion. Because in compassion, there's no place, there's no space taken up by ego. Now, it's not that the process of an illusion of being separate from life doesn't exist in life, synonym for compassion, but it's not perceived as separate. So when we move to a place of compassion, all of that egocentric karmic conditioning self-hate falls away. It may only be for a split second, but we can have a sense that when attention is on awareness, compassion, life, then all of that difficulty, that suffering, that is the result of being identified as something separate from life, it all falls away.
Yes, yes, yes.
Yes, and even though a non-separate reality seems like an intellectual concept, and that is usually where we get those things first, a non-separate reality. So on the retreat, I was doing my if every atom were pink thing, right? So to try to get a mental picture of a non-separate reality. And for that split second that we attend to compassion in the present, we have a felt sense of a non-separate reality.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Anyway, I'm loving everything so much, and I'm really looking forward. Happy birthday, of course, and I'm really looking
forward to
tomorrow's.
Yes.
All
me
the
too.
Talks. It's going to be wonderful tomorrow.
Yes, I'm very excited. Very excited about it. Thank you for that reminder. And hopefully, everybody. We'll check with Ashwini. But if anybody's hearing about it for the first time, workshops all day with fabulous people. We all get to attend. Yeah,
right.
A gift from Sangha to Sangha.
I want to find out more about Tolstoy. Do you know the public library here for some reason said we cannot deliver that book to you, and I don't know what that's about. But anyway, so I'll get it otherwise.
Well, push them because it's worth it.
Okay, I will.
All right. Thank you, Richard.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Go happy.
Thank you. Go happy.
Thank you, Richard. And if all the atoms are pink, Sherry, we don't have to keep any secrets.
Precisely. It's all known.
Yeah.
It's all known by all. Isn't that wonderful?
It just seems to me that we indulge in a large game of hide-and-seek.
Yes. With when we're identified with ego, right?
That's right. And it
or
seems
life,
that's
or
what
life is playing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Well, I'm stalling because my application just quit. Here we go. Next caller, you are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself? Next caller.
Hi, this is Susan.
Hey, Susan.
Hey, Susan.
Oh, okay, so here's what I'm looking at. I go to guidance once a week at the monastery,
uh-huh.
and she encourages me to, she's, oh, you got to get in the queue and talk about this stuff. And I'm like, so I tell her stories. Well, I tried to get in the queue, and I'm driving down the road, and I drop out. And then I think there's not enough time, and I have this queue phobia. And so I got in the queue today, and then I'm looking. I'm just watching as people are talking, and I'm thinking, I can't remember what I was supposed to talk about. I go blank.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
But...
Well, now, isn't that whole process kind of worth the price of the ticket?
Well, I was trying to think about it in the secrets thing, like how, you know, if we use that word, you know, what is it whispering to me down there? What is the secret that it's telling me that I'm almost like that, you know, what's it telling me? What's it whispering to me to... get me to think it's not important to be in the queue, and when I get in the queue, I become inadequate, and I can't share, and I can't look anymore, and it's not helpful. Yeah.
You don't think that's it, Susan?
Well, can you keep talking, so maybe I...
Well, there's the assumption that it's something other than what it's clearly, from your description, doing to you all the time. There are all of these problems that keep you focused somewhere other than here, on things other than you. And when the focus turns to you, then it's to point out what's wrong with you, how inadequate you are.
Yes.
Does
yes.
that... Do you recognize that in your life?
No! Yes, I do recognize that in my life. And the interesting thing as you were talking is that process of projecting outward mm-hmm. until I get in the queue. And then it's projecting inward.
Yes. Oh.
Right.
Now, there's a great catch, right? Because as long as it can distract you by looking outward at, and I would guess, seeing what the problems are, right?
Right.
Kind of, yeah, seeing what the problems are. We won't say seeing what other people are doing wrong or the inadequacy of other people or that sort of thing, but seeing the problems, and then you do this very foolish thing of putting yourself in the queue, and then you're unmuted, and suddenly, right, it's lost. It's lost all of its ammunition, and so there's only you. And this giant, you are the problem. Because, and then it just works with whatever is going on, right? It can't take you off into those other problems because that's too big a transition. And so just right now, well, you don't have anything to say. Well, you just went blank. You can't do this. You just, and not only that, what that means is this is a waste of time. You're much better off when you're not under this kind of pressure and you can be really dealing with the problems that you have.
Yes. You know, I just can't believe it. It's just so, because it so highlights how the system is operating inside, because most of us, I'll just say for myself, I do a lot of things that would seem like to me when I'm, it would seem like they're harder than getting in the queue. And I'm fine.
Yes. Yes. Because you are, yes. Now, I know I can say this to you and you're not going to collapse in a big puddle, okay? Well, small puddle. But you're fine with that. Because you're following directions.
Right.
Yeah.
Yes.
There are the standards. You're meeting the standards. You're told when you're not. You're punished when you don't. So you're on a program. And that feels right.
Safe.
Safe. There you go. Better word. Yeah.
Perfect.
Feel safe.
Go ahead. Well, I was just going to say, I was looking at that. I don't know if it was yesterday or the day before on a phone call, but somebody was talking, on this radio show, I was looking at that exact thing of, and I don't even exactly have it right now, but that whole thing of leaving that place of knowing, and I can take spiritual practice, it can take spiritual practice, anything, and sort of set up that structure.
Yes.
Which isn't exactly, the thing I was looking at yesterday, I think, in guidance is, what I used to do with that is then I would label it as good or bad. That process, that might not be good or bad, or, it's nothing. It's just what we're seeing, which has been so helpful with this class.
Yes.
Because the thing I've been – oh, go ahead.
Well, the good-bad label makes it safe. Even if it's bad,
Right. Exactly.
It creates that illusion of control, right? And having control is safe. Even if it's an illusion.
Right.
It's safe. Yeah.
Yeah. Yes. Yep. And there's a lot of, I don't know, so because I live in that and didn't know it, kind of that silent judgment, good and bad, and this is the way to, because we've been doing this thing, this book, and taking that away, I cannot tell you how much freer I have felt. So the example I was using is, we had to choose that thing we wanted, and I chose being a billionaire. And since the class, it's kind of been permeating, like if I get into some kind of fear or right and wrong place or good and bad or shouldn't or should, I just say, well, I'm a billionaire. I don't need to worry. And I can't tell you that it works. Before I know it, there I am, free and fun and abundant and laughing and nothing wrong.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
But if I hadn't been paying attention, that system would not have allowed me to choose being a billionaire. I need to choose union with God or inner peace or freedom or something holy.
Uh-huh, uh-huh. And who says $1 billion isn't holy? In your case, clearly it is, because it provides you with all of those other things.
Which is the same as getting in the queue. It posts at that too.
Yes.
Or seeing our secrets.
Right. Yeah. It's good to see, isn't it? Because bottom line with that, Susan, is I think what you're getting very, very clear about is keeping ego safe is not what you want to give your life to.
No. And seeing how I'm doing it is so important, because a lot of times I don't realize that's what I'm doing.
Yes.
That's why we come here. Yeah.
That's right. Yep. If we left to ourselves, we would never see this stuff. You're a Buddha or a Jesus or a Dogen or a somebody like that who seem to be driven by forces that most of us are not driven by. No. We need each other and these workshops and these tools and the support. We do.
Yep. All right. Well, I can't wait for the workshop tomorrow. Happy birthday.
Thank you. Very exciting, huh?
Yeah. Thank you, Sherry. Thank you, Ashwini.
All right.
And I'll put myself in the queue again.
Okay, good. All right. Thanks, Susan.
Okay.
Go happy.
Bye. Oh, you too.
Thanks, Susan. I think that's the T-shirt, right, Sherry, that a life where we keep ego safe is that's not what we're about.
Not the one we want. Yeah.
No.
Well, and to me, that is sort of that place that Susan was pointing to, which is we're not aware of what we're doing because ego bamboozles us. It operates in secrecy, right?
Yes.
It's not in plain sight.
God, what a good point. What a good point. Yeah. It's
whole deal. Out of our awareness.
Is to stay a secret.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
And as we bring it into awareness, then that's why it feels unsafe, because it's exposed.
Uh-huh. And it explains that whole thing that we're all aware of, where, well, I'm the only one that this is going on with, so I have to really keep quiet and not let anybody know that this is going on. I mean, talk about bamboozling a whole bunch of people into keeping it secret.
Wow. Yes, exactly.
Mm.
All right, we have time for one more caller. Here's our next caller. You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Oh, good morning. And happy birthday.
Hello.
This is Marianne.
Thank
you. This is Marianne.
Hello, Marianne.
So this has been very interesting for me about secrets, because my life has been ruled by a secret, and it's still, the ego battle is still going on. So what I noticed in all of this was that the body is manifesting pain and discomfort, and I think it's ego resistance. So it's a diabolical strategy to take my focus away from the present. So it's very interesting to just see how I suspect it's this because my life got very small, to the point where it's almost like couldn't leave my apartment. And, you know, I have to quit believing in this body pain. It just keeps changing.
Yes.
So it's kind of a moving target. But, so that's what I'm working with this.
Well, I'm so right there. And want to be supportive of and encouraging of what you're seeing, because I suspect you are exactly on target. That its strategy with physical stuff is to stay a moving target, so that the attention is always on it. The story is always, this is what's wrong. If this weren't happening, you would be all right. You could be happy if this weren't happening, but it is. And you have to figure out what it is and cure it before you can be happy, right? And as you've noticed, a person can live a lot of decades following a map that leads nowhere.
Yes. So this has been, this has been the revelation of this practice, to wake up to the fact that body pain was controlling me or is controlling me. I mean, it's still there. It's just, I don't believe it. But, and it's interesting because there is a sliver where body pain could be real. But mostly,
yes,
not.
Well, yes, and even if it's real, you know, we think about people who have physical conditions where it is real, in quotes. I mean, I don't know why that's the case. Who knows? But that, you know, rheumatoid arthritis, say, something like that, where that you can see what the body is doing. And that still doesn't mean that that needs to dictate how a person's life is.
Yeah.
Because the odds are good, it's not going to change. And, you know, it, if we take that from the physical out into the mental, emotional, spiritual, awful things are happening to people all over the world every minute of the day, right? And so if everybody who had something that conditioning would call awful happen in their life gave up living to just focus on that, what a tragedy.
Yeah.
Right, and so to say, okay, this is going on with me. This is what's happening, mentally, emotionally, spiritually, physically, on whatever, you know, wherever it's happening. And I was asking Ashwini about this the other day, and I can't remember who said it, but they talked about the duty that most people ignore most readily, you know, in that direction, is the duty to be happy.
Mm-hmm.
Because happiness is such a part of gratitude. And when we have something going on in our lives that conditioning, all other egos will say, oh, yeah, well, you couldn't possibly be happy. You couldn't possibly be grateful. Well, while this is going on, this has to be fixed. And then you can, no, that misses the point utterly. It is our obligation, our responsibility, our duty to find gratitude for being alive, whatever the circumstances of our life.
Yes.
I'm yelling. I'm almost yelling at you, but you know I'm yelling in support, right?
I know that, Sherry. I think that the other part of this is that part of the secret is I am doing stuff to express myself creatively. And the more I do this, of course, the more my body gets wound up. So I know how close I am by how the physical symptoms. And it's just, you know, but when you don't believe it, then it's okay.
Yes. So it takes us back to my all-time favorite mantra. I don't care. I choose unconditional love.
Yes.
Right? I don't care. Yeah, it hurts. Yeah, I'm afraid. Yeah, I have nightmares. Yeah, I can't sleep. Yeah, this person I love hates me. Yeah, yeah, I don't care. I choose unconditional love.
Yeah.
All right.
Thank you.
I know you're doing it.
And I'll be doing it tomorrow with everybody.
Good.
It's so exciting.
Excellent.
About that.
All right, me too. Thank you, Marianne.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, Marianne. And that brings us to the end of another very powerful show, Sherry. Here is our assignment for today. What would people think if they knew, record and listen, this is still on the theme of secrets. What would people think
if they knew?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, thank you, Ashwini. Thank you for battling technology every day on our behalf. And thank you for all you've done and the other folks. I thank people in advance for the efforts made for us all tomorrow. So very much looking forward to it.
Well, see you on the show, not on the show, well, on the show on Monday and on the practice day conference call tomorrow.
All right.
Take care, everybody.
Thank you again. Go happy.